Part B. Note-taking. In this section, you will hear a lecture on anxiety disorders. You will hear the lecture only once. As you listen to the lecture, use this sheet to take notes on the following points. Difference between anxiety and anxiety disorders. Reasons for anxiety disorders. Characteristics of obsessions and compulsions. Types of treatment for obsessive-compulsive disorder. Factors affecting treatment. Later, you will be asked to write answers to a number of questions in 15 minutes. Your notes will not be graded.
Welcome to you all. Our guest today is Dr. Bill Dennison, and as part of our How to Be Healthier series, he's going to give a talk on anxiety disorders. The floor is yours, Dr. Dennison.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We all feel anxious from time to time, don't we? Although anxiety itself can be helpful, when it's carried to extremes, it changes shape and name. Let me clarify this. Anxiety, to begin with, is a normal feeling. It's a normal reaction to stress. It helps one deal with a tense situation in the office or study harder for an exam. In general, it helps one cope with whatever the difficulty is. But when anxiety becomes an excessive, irrational dread or avoidance of everyday situations, it becomes a disabling anxiety disorder. There are many, many people who suffer from such excessive states of mind and whose daily lives are extremely disrupted. That's why I've devoted today's talk to anxiety disorders. In the first part of my talk, I'll explain, in short, their main causes. Then, in the second part, I'll talk about obsessive-compulsive behavior as a typical example of an anxiety disorder. Finally, I'll describe some basic treatments carried out in the field today. Okay, let's start with the reasons behind these disorders. To begin with, genetic factors have the greatest influence. Twin and family studies show genetic contributions to many syndromes, such as panic disorders and simple phobias. For example, if one identical twin has an anxiety disorder, the second twin is very likely to suffer from it as well. So we can say that because of genetic factors, some people have a higher risk of being affected by these illnesses. Secondly, brain chemistry appears to play an important role in the onset of anxiety disorders because the symptoms are often relieved by medications that alter levels of chemicals in the brain. Another cause can be described as personality characteristics. People with low self-respect and poor coping skills have a higher probability of suffering from such disorders than those who value themselves and are stronger. Finally, negative life experiences, such as the loss of a parent, long-term exposure to abuse, violence, or poverty, may pose a greater risk for people. So far, we've talked about the difference between simple anxiety and anxiety disorders and the main reasons behind it. Now, I'm going to talk about the obsessive-compulsive disorder. The reason I chose this condition is that 5 in every 100 people suffer from this disorder. As you see, the name of this disorder is made up of two words, obsessive and compulsive. So, these two words necessarily have two different meanings. Obsessions, to begin with, are irrational and persistent thoughts or ideas. These thoughts occur repeatedly. No matter what you do or what people around you say. For example, if you always think that a terrible accident is about to occur to a loved one, or if you think you can never get clean enough, and if you cannot get rid of this irrational thought, this is called an obsession. Compulsions, on the other hand, are actions or intentional behaviors that are performed in response to an obsession. That is, you try to overcome your obsession by following some order of actions. Compulsions are performed in a stereotypical fashion. That is, they follow a certain pattern. Okay, we have looked at what the two words stand for, and now let's have a look at the disorder itself. Let me give you an example of obsessive-compulsive behavior. Thinking that the electric iron is not turned off and checking it many times to make sure it's off before leaving home. While checking, you touch different parts of the iron one by one to make sure that it's cold. Let me give another example. This time it's a real-life story. Let's call her Mrs. C. She's a 46-year-old mother of 6 children. She has an obsession with being clean. For 10 years, she has been suffering from a compulsion to wash excessively, sometimes 25 to 30 times a day, for 5 to 10 minutes each time. Her daily morning shower lasts 2 hours, with rituals involving each part of her body. If she loses track of her order, she feels she must start from the beginning once again. As you can see, people with an obsessive-compulsive disorder feel these acts must be performed in the order they themselves have established. Having given some concrete examples, in the last part of my talk, I'll explain some ways of treating these disorders. First of all, there is psychotherapy, that is, working with a therapist. The second form of treatment is biological treatment, that is, using medication in order to alter the functioning of the brain. Sometimes, symptoms can be so unpleasant and debilitating that medication has to be applied in combination with psychotherapy. No matter which treatment is made use of, there are basically 2 main factors affecting the whole thing. One is the role of insight. This means turning to the inner self and understanding one's own thoughts and feelings. People who master this know themselves well. They know their emotions, goals, intentions, strengths, and weaknesses in life. So when patients regain this power of insight, they interpret their experiences more rationally and positively, and hence lower their levels of anxiety and depression. The other factor which affects the treatment process is the role of the therapist-patient relationship. Obviously, a patient has to feel comfortable with the therapist in order to reveal his secrets or talk about his emotionally difficult experiences. To sum up, as I said at the beginning of my talk, there is a difference between anxiety and anxiety disorders. This is not always perceived in the same manner in different cultures. That's why the topic of my next talk will be the ways Western and non-Western cultures deal with.
This is the end of the talk on anxiety disorders. Now your proctor will hand out the sheet with the questions. Using the notes you have taken, write answers to these questions. You have 15 minutes.